Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And my guest today is Jack Carr, who's out with his debut novel. It's a thriller called The Terminal List, where we're introduced to Navy SEAL Lieutenant Commander James Reese. In the book, Reese's last mission ends with catastrophe following an ambush, so Reese heads home, only discovers more tragedy. He discovers a conspiracy to bring down himself and those closest to him, so Reese sets out on a revenge mission to bring down the corrupt people responsible for it. Jack, as a former Navy SEAL sniper yourself, you submitted this manuscript to the Department of Defense for approval. At what stage in the writing process does the script go to the DOT to get the approval?
Yeah, so it goes before it goes to the publisher. That's what they told me anyway, and I enlisted the help of a law firm since you definitely need an attorney to decipher all the legal language attached to all the regulations that pertain to people that have had these type of clearances that I've had. But went through a law firm and sent it off to the Department of Defense, and to my great surprise, they took out a few sentences. So I left those redacted in the novel. I'd seen that done in nonfiction before, but hadn't seen it done in fiction, so just left those blacked out so I wouldn't have to write around them or resubmit for another 30 to 60 days.
Is that something where you have, since you had that security clearance, when you sign up as a SEAL, this is for the rest of your life now, anything you write has to be submitted to them?
You know, that's what it seems like from the regulation. When you interpret that regulation conservatively, even if you wrote a cookbook, you would have to submit it to the Department of Defense for review. Interestingly enough, there's a different regulation that applies to people, former military people, or people that have had clearances that go on media and go on news, which is why you can see former military members that are in uniform one day, the next day they're retired, and they're on one of the news channels talking about ongoing operations because they have a different regulation that applies to them that is, in many ways, much more lax than the one that applies to works of even fiction.
You retired from the SEALs in 2016. What's the first day of retirement like after 20 years at a high-pressure job like that?
So I was ready to move on. It was a good 20-year run, but my last deployment to Iraq would have been the last time that I tactically led guys on the battlefield, which is what I came in to do. So there was a lot of staff jobs ahead, and I was ready to move on and take care of my family. So, and luckily, I knew what that next passion in life was, and my next mission was taking care of my family, and the next thing I wanted to do was pursue writing. So I had that next mission already set, and a lot of people I don't think have that. So people that are leaving, whether it's military or whether it's professional sports or if you're an Olympic athlete, but you've been so focused on a mission for so long, you've had this shared sense of purpose with other people on your team, and now all of a sudden you don't have that. So I think a lot of people struggle with that. And, for me, I found that in my family and in writing.
Jack Carr is not your real name, obviously. How many different names did you go through before settling on that one?
Well, I got some advice from Lee Child, and before I submitted the manuscript to Simon & Schuster, we met at an industry show in Las Vegas, and he could not have been more generous with his time. He was just so wonderful to me and made me feel like I was already part of this club of scribes even before I'd submitted the novel. And he said, "I love your title, but you need a pen name." And he told me why he chose his back in the late 90s. He said there was a Tom Clancy, Michael Crichton, Mary Higgins Clark. There were all these C best-selling authors, and he thought that was because you'd walk into a bookstore or whatever and start left and work right, and by the time you're in the C area, your kid was crying in the stroller, your plane was about to leave if you were at the airport, so he thought the C area was a good place to be. So I figured it would be wise if I listened to his advice and went back to my hotel room and Googled last names that start with C and wrote about three pages down, and they started crossing them off until I ended up with Carr.
Well, when you create a Navy SEAL character like James Reese, how do you go about giving him these characteristics to avoid the temptation to just simply write a memoir of your own experiences?
Yeah, well, this is 100% fiction, but I think it's resonating with people because the part that is real are the feelings and emotions that he has as he goes along his journey. So I took experiences that I had in the military over the last 20 years and those emotions that I felt, and I just applied those to a fictional narrative. So the feelings are real, and I think they come to us in the writing, which is why it's resonating with people. But also, I didn't want him to be a caricature of a SEAL or what the media sometimes portrays SEALs to be. So I wanted him to have faults and to be good at some things, not as good at others, just like a real person or a real SEAL would be. And I wanted him to also be likable. I wanted him to be somebody you would want to have a beer with, but also someone that could flip the switch and get the job done.
when I think of Navy SEALs, I immediately think of the Bin Laden raid. That's just where my mind goes, a very highly surgical operation. And then I try to imagine doing that sort of work day in and day out. But are there days as a SEAL or weeks or months where there's nothing to do but paperwork or something? Or is it action-packed every single day?
Well, it's not action-packed every single day. There are definitely some administrative requirements in there. But even when you're not deployed and you're not overseas doing the mission, the training itself is just is inherently dangerous. So even you're away a lot from your family, you're doing desert warfare training, mountain warfare training, jumping out of planes, doing the dive training. So there's all sorts of things you have to do with the group that you're going to be deploying downrange with. So it's an inherently dangerous 18-month workup followed by a 6 to 7 month deployment for most of us. And it was an honor to do it as long as I did.
As a SEAL, do you ever get numb to the realities of what you're doing, or is there ever an internal struggle between your mission and your own sense of reality, what you may think is right or wrong?
You know, it's more so just figuring out as a leader how to interpret what's happening on a strategic level and make sure the guys are still focused and not distracted by some of those things and some of those inputs that they're getting from a 24-hour news cycle, from social media, and they're focused on the task at hand. And most everybody is very good at doing that, but sometimes being able to explain what's going on, explain our part of what's going on strategically, and how we fit into that strategic picture from our tactical level, why we're doing things, it's important. It's not, I think a misconception in the military is that people do what you say just because you say it, because it's the military. And that wasn't really my experience. My experience was people do what you say because they trust you. So in explaining why you're doing certain things, you're building that trust, and you're building that trust both up and down the chain of command, and that gives you a lot of leeway to get the job done on the ground.
I'm talking with Jack Carr about his brand new thriller, The Terminal List. That's available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Atria. Jack, as we continue along this, as a SEAL, there's all sorts of contingencies on every mission, I would assume. Something goes wrong, we go to plan B or C or D. Your book really did a good job taking the reader through this process. Why was that important to put in there?
You know, it probably was just very natural for me to put it in there. I didn't intentionally do so, but, our mission, there's a primary, a secondary, a tertiary, you're quite right. And then for each phase of the operation, there's certain contingencies that you go over that are most likely to happen out there. So I think it's just natural for me to think in those terms, and they naturally found their way into the pages of the book.
When you're in the SEALs, there's so much that's out of your control. I mean, on a mission, anything can go wrong, and there's nothing you control. With James Reese, you're in complete control. What's having that sort of power like for a former Navy SEAL?
There's certain parts in the book where he's not in control, but in writing a novel, even I didn't feel like I was in complete control writing it. There were certain scenes that I thought were going to go a certain way, that I had outlined as going a certain way, but as I sat down and actually wrote them, they took a different path. So it didn't seem like I was completely in control the entire time, and it was a great experience to write, and I've enjoyed every single part of this process.
How are you not in control as a writer? Does it just sort of take over the story in your own mind as you're typing it?
Yeah, so I thought I was going to be in control of it, but there's a couple scenes in there that just went different ways than I thought they would go as I actually put pen to paper or fingers to the keyboard. So I started with an idea. I wanted to explore revenge without constraint. That was the main theme that I wanted to explore. And there's some sub-themes in there as well. A title came very soon thereafter, and then I outlined it. And as I started writing, I'd fill in the outline just to kind of stay on track as the story took different twists and turns. But about halfway through, or a little more than halfway through, then I just discarded the outline and continued writing. But there were a couple scenes that I thought that I'd outlined as going a certain way and had a certain outcome that ended up going a different way as I wrote them, which was very interesting.
As you were writing the book, how would you stay focused on the main theme of the book, revenge?
Yeah, so I got this from Stephen Pressfield, and I don't know if it was one of his books on creativity or if it was a podcast or an interview somewhere, but he said that for his books, he wrote Gates of Fire and Tides of War and Legend of Bagger Vance, but he said he would, I think in his case it was a typewriter, in my case it's a computer, but he would write the theme of the book on a yellow sticky and put it next to his typewriter. So I wrote Revenge on a yellow sticky and put it on my MacBook Air. And if there was ever a time where I thought, this does this really fit this the flow of the book? Or does this make sense? I just looked at that yellow sticky with revenge on it, and if it didn't some way tie back to that theme, then I'd discard it.
Is the Navy SEALs a group that transcends politics? And I'm not talking party politics. I'm talking the politics within the brass of the Navy.
No, I don't think so. I think we're human just like everybody else and question things just like anybody else. And we're creative problem solvers on the battlefield. And that's why we've been so successful over the last 16-plus years at war, is our ability to adapt and be creative. But that takes, the guys definitely question. And question things from politicians and from senior level military leaders, and wonder why they're doing certain things that don't quite make sense tactically. They're pushed down from people that are very far removed from that tactical level experience. So I think some of that might have found its way into the pages of the book as well.
With a character like James Reese, it seems that a future thriller would work as either a sequel or a prequel. Is that the beauty of a Navy SEAL as a literary work of art?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but there's a book two is in the works right now and will come out this time next year with characters from the Terminal List, but which ones and in what capacity, that's the secret. But I assure I'm enjoying every part of this and super excited. I'm in the middle of book two right now, so I'm going to lock down on that after this book tour is over, and really I can't wait to start editing that.
Well, I know the readers will be looking forward to it, too, but this one is called The Terminal List. That's a thriller by Jack Carr. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold in different formats. Go out and pick it up. Jack, just a fantastic offering here. What a great debut thriller. Thanks for putting it out, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.